Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zucker plays it back to the point. Byram feeds a short pass from McLeod. Top of the near circle. Shot scores! Welcome to Buffalo, Ryan McLeod. He's given the Sabres a 5-4 lead with 9:04 to go here in the third period. The Sabres have come roaring back in Pittsburgh.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Ryan McLeod, one of my favorite additions the Sabres have made this offseason. He's been fantastic. Scores his first goal last night. And as you heard there, put him up 5-4. Two very quick goals. Paterka with a beauty. And then McLeod there, slap shot nearly from the point. Fun game last night at times, but man, it became very, very frustrating as well. We do have some Bills breaking news, and we're going to bring in our own Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline to help us break it down. But Sal, the Bills have brought in a kicker.
Yeah, they have, guys. We're just learning this a couple minutes ago, as you said. Let me kind of go over the details here. The Bills have signed kicker Lucas Haversick to the practice squad. They've released wide receiver Amarian Brown, and Haversick is a player that's been in the league a little bit here. I'm just trying to get the information on him. You guys might have it more in front of you than I actually have because this is just coming in as I'm kind of getting all situated to talk to you. So here we go. Lucas Haversick, he's with the Rams. I don't really know too much about him. Originally entered the NFL to the Colts practice squad in 2022, spent time with the Browns and the Rams over the last couple of seasons.
You could probably argue that it's maybe good we don't know a ton about a kicker.
Right.
Because the more you know, it probably gets a little bit uglier.
Yeah, you know, that's probably right. I mean, he did appear in 9 games for the Rams in 2023 after being signed off the Browns practice squad in October. All right, so obviously this is a Tyler Bass situation, right? That's what is happening here. Lucas Haversick, you know, joins the Bills, and we all knew that over the last few weeks, you know, Tyler Bass, even though their firm commitment to him and saying, you know, how much they believe in him, that things had been really inconsistent and have been trending towards them taking a look around. Well, yesterday they brought some kickers in for a workout. Brandon Bean confirmed that was the case. Obviously, Haversick would be, you know, somebody that they had taken a look at either yesterday or recently. And Brandon Bean yesterday had some very, I think, truthful words about Tyler Bass and his situation. And he said that they had spoken to Tyler Bass about the fact that they were going to be doing this and that, you know, it just hasn't been good enough, the production. And obviously, they signed him to an extension. And there's, you know, money that you have to think about here and what that situation is. But as I've said all along, I wouldn't expect the Bills just to outright sign a guy and cut Tyler Bass. If there's a guy out there that's not on a team, there's a reason he's not on a team. And are you just coming in and trusting him to make kicks more than Tyler Bass? I mean, I guess you could say you trust anybody, but I don't think that's the case. So to me, this was always the move and what I'd been saying, which is you bring someone in on the practice squad, you get them up to speed on what your operation is, and then maybe you last another week here at home with Tyler Bass, see if he can figure things out with someone pushing him. We'll see where it goes from here, though, guys.
Is this going to be a thing, Sal, do you think that, like, because as you brought up with the contract, too, that even if, let's say, you know, Haversick becomes the guy, that they ultimately have two kickers on the team and Bass is just effectively benched because they can't really cut him with the contract? Or could they actually kind of work their way out of that if ultimately Haversick does become the starting kicker?
I mean, you never say never. I mean, you can do it. It just would be a lot of dead money. I mean, you could do it. It's not like you have to pay extra on the contract. It's just that you're then have a kicker that counts money on the salary cap that you've given him guaranteed money that now you have to account for. And it's a dead salary cap. What you also can do is elevate him. If you remember, you get two elevations. And honestly, the Bills are trending towards being healthier this week, right? Which is maybe then that leaves space for, okay, we're going to elevate this guy but then what happens? Are you elevating him to actually kick the ball? And if that's the case, that's really interesting. Yes, you could have two kickers. It's not ideal. I don't think the Bills want to have two kickers. That's why this guy's in the practice squad right now, and then, you know, we'll see where it goes.
And then you did bring up Brandon Bean spoke yesterday. It was a very busy day at One Bills Drive. Also heard from Amari Cooper, just kind of to blanket question. But what was your really big takeaway from yesterday? We heard from McDermott, Bean, Cooper. Josh Allen also spoke. We got our first injury report from yesterday, although it was a walkthrough. Very busy day yesterday.
Yeah, let's start with Sean McDermott. Sean was very focused on making sure that there wasn't too high of expectations for Amari coming in right away. He even said he wasn't sure if he's going to play this week. I think that was just kind of tempering a lot of things. He kept saying, it's about the team, not about one player. I think he just wanted to kind of, make sure that that's how he sent his messaging. Then we heard from Brandon Bean. He was very committed to still saying how much he believes in this wide receiver group. It wasn't about them. It was about adding a player of this caliber. But we all have seen the lack of production from the wide receivers, the lack of separation from the wide receivers, and that manifesting itself to everything being a little bit more of a struggle lately for the offense, obviously. Bean also gave a lot of insight into how the deal went down, what the timing was. He said Davante Adams' trade did not just speed them up and pivot to Amari Cooper, but it kind of closed the door on it, which then they went all in with their chips on Amari Cooper when they'd already been there. He said that really, as of Sunday night into Monday, and then Monday afternoon specifically, they were in a good spot where they felt this was going to happen. Now, do the math on that. Sunday, the Browns lost to the Eagles to drop to 5-1, right? So you think about the Browns from their standpoint, it's not a surprise that they probably looked at themselves and said, okay, we're 1-5. I'm sorry, 1-5, not 5-1. They look at themselves and go, we're 5-1. I did it again. We're 1-5. And, this season we have to start evaluating what we are now versus what we have and what we are in the future. So I think it made it much easier for them to trade this player who maybe they didn't want to trade before that, right? You can't force someone to trade you a player just because it looks like, he'd be a good fit for you. And then financially, obviously, it made a lot of sense for the Bills to grab a player like this, where you're only paying him $800,000 for the rest of the year, not only cash, but on your salary cap, versus someone like Davante Adams, where Bean basically gave an indication they were monitoring that, they were watching that, but it became clear that wasn't going to happen from the Bills' standpoint, so that's why they, went to Amari Cooper. And then from Cooper's standpoint, he drove to Buffalo after he heard the news, or he was told. It was a 3-hour or so drive, give or take. He said it was basically like the first day of school, a long drive before the first day of school, a lot to think about. And he believes that he can contribute this week. He said it's uncharted territory for him to have to go to a new team and in 5 days go out there and play. But he thinks he can learn enough of the playbook because he's a smart guy to be able to go out there and contribute.
So, Sal, it's kind of interesting. Like you were saying, Bean said that the Adams trade didn't really speed anything up. So I'm sitting here kind of wondering, did they have both of these trades kind of like at like an even pace of in sort of like this, all right, we're talking to both, let's try to get both to the finish line here and see which one goes first? Because like this is the second trade deadline in a row where we've heard them talking to two different teams about the same kind of player. Last year it was eventually they get Rasul Douglas, but we heard talks of going for Jalen Johnson in Chicago. And it's like, I just think that's kind of interesting to look into the.
Well, we don't know, Josh. We don't know the level of talks they actually had with the Raiders.
Right, but it's at the same time, it is kind of like, it's interesting to just hear that didn't really impact anything that much. And I'm curious if Cooper was the idea all along, or if it was just kind of an even thing and just see where things were at. I understand where you're coming from. Like we don't know where they were at in terms of the level, but at the same time, I'm glad to see that it didn't really impact what was actually happening. I was worried that, the Cooper thing was like, oh, panic button, the Adams is gone, and now we got to get somebody. I'm glad to see it was maybe sort of the plan all along. We don't know for sure, but it could have been.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd be confident in saying that I don't think that they were counting on a trade for Davante Adams. You know what I mean? This wasn't, wasn't, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Again, I don't think that they went so far down with the Raiders. He said they were monitoring that situation. It doesn't even mean they had a trade in place, a framework or anything like that. It was probably had some conversations, see where's going. But look, I think the reporting on the Davante Adams situation for a while has been that they weren't going to eat the money. So I think the Bills, once you know that, you know, you're kind of out of it, but you know, you see where it goes. Maybe at some point the Raiders say, okay, well, we want to make a deal here with somebody. What do you want to do? So no, I don't get the sense. I think they knew for a while that Cooper was very much in their sights. I think they, you know, had been monitoring that. I think you go back a while. Brandon Bean said it's his pro personnel staff's job to kind of see all these things and to, you know, talk about players as the whole season's going on. It's funny you said the trade deadline. It's not the trade deadline yet. There's still 3 weeks before that, guys.
It's weird because like it feels like it is because those two big trades and then all of a sudden it's like it's quiet.
Well, I say that because Brandon Bean made it clear that like they might not be done. If there's something out there that fits for them, they'll go and you know make that deal. But it's got to fit financially. It's got to be the right fit for the player. And you know, getting Amari Cooper in now before the trade deadline allows him a few extra weeks, as opposed to Rasul Douglas last year coming in November. Now it's a few extra weeks to learn the playbook and get up to speed. But you know, just going back to your original question, I don't think there's anything that suggests that oh my God, we're so invested in Davante Adams and now we have to go to Amari Cooper. This was a guy that they had been talking about. They had been in contact with Cleveland. They were monitoring the Raiders situation. And sure, you never know. But you have to, Josh, keep it open. Like, what if the Raiders just call him one day and go, yeah, Davante doesn't want to play with Aaron Rodgers. We're going to eat a lot of money. So you have to keep that open.
Right. Sal, last thing here, just real quick on the injury report. Again, was a walkthrough yesterday, but notable that Kincaid actually popped up yesterday, limited with a collarbone injury. Did you see anything on Monday night that necessarily would kind of point to, like, all right, that's where it was? I think I remember Kincaid kind of getting up a little bit weird, but I can't remember for sure.
I did. I remember there was a play. It would have been on the far sideline, the Jets sideline. It was going left to right if you were watching on television. I remember him catching a ball, going down, and when he got up, I thought for a minute he kind of like looked and maybe grabbed his shoulder, not grabbed it, but kind of like put his hand on it, right? Like in his shoulder area. So that made sense. I watched him. He came off the field. He never went to the trainers, never went into the medical tent, but I did notice it. So, hey, look, Sean McDermott said when we talked to him on Tuesday, we asked him about any injuries in the game, and he said nothing significant, minor bumps and bruises along the way. So I'm going to just take it at that for right now, and the fact that he was limited, the fact that he finished the game, the fact that there was no official injury report on him to kind of think maybe this week, maybe he's in a red non-contact jersey today. We'll find out here, guys. They do practice at 12:30 today, so maybe he's in a red non-contact. But otherwise, honestly, they're getting healthier. I mean, look at the injury report. There's a lot of names. But not anybody who's DNP of a walkthrough yesterday. Let's, you know, get that, you know, out of the way because it was obviously it's not a normal practice. This week might not be a good week for the, oh my God, they're so injured, fire the entire training staff crowd. Because this is what happens in an NFL season. You have weeks where you're more injured. You have weeks where you're less injured. It's professional football. It looks like they're getting healthier.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Sal, enjoy practice. We'll talk again later.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Herr Hotline. I'm going to take a quick time out here, but coming up at 11 o'clock, we're going to get more of a look at what exactly the Bills are getting in Amari Cooper and what the Cleveland Browns are really up to, as we're going to hear from Spencer German of 92.3, the Fan over in Cleveland. That's coming up at 11 o'clock. We're still, of course, taking calls, 803-0550, the number to call. Talking a lot of Sabres there in that first segment. Had a lot of fun doing that. A lot of stuff to get off of our chests. Love to bring that back up as well. Zach Jones, Josh Mitten here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.